1 Corinthians in chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. I tell you, the message this morning is going to be a little different. I've prayed, I feel like I've struggled, I feel like I've wrestled all week long, things I wanted to preach and just couldn't get the liberty to preach. I wanted to go in the Gospels and look at the resurrection account and different things, but I feel like this is what the Lord wants me to do today. It's probably not the most well laid out thing. I don't have a big long outline. I don't have anything fancy for you, but I'm just going to throw at you what I feel like the Lord wants me to say today, and then we'll go home. And I appreciate you being here. I trust that you do know the risen Savior. And if you don't know the risen Savior, I want you to know that you can know Him today. Amen. You can get to know Him and know Him personally before you leave this place today. We'd like to take the Bible and show you how the Bible says that you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're on your way to heaven. You're saved and have your sins forgiven, and you're a brand new creature. The Bible is very clear on that matter. And so we would hope today that you wouldn't just know the story of the death, the burial, and the resurrection as a storybook figure, but that you would know the Savior personal in your life as your Lord and Savior. And so that'd be our prayer this morning. But I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, and we'll read quite a few verses. If you would, you can stand up with me out of respect. We don't do that all the time. If you don't feel like standing up, well, I ain't going to look down at you. It reads real good both ways. Reads about the same, sitting down, standing up, laying down. It reads real good. Amen? Amen. Yeah, I'm going to get y'all to say amen if I got to pay you. Amen? They like that paying part. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, the Bible says in verse number 1, Moreover, brethren, notice he said moreover, not a little under, but moreover. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Somebody ought to stop and shout hallelujah. You don't have to die for your own sins. Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. And that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. You understand, when the Lord Jesus Christ died on an old rugged cross, it was fulfilling the Scriptures that had already prophesied and predicted that He was going to do such a thing. Was no accident. I want to remind you this morning, Calvary was no accident. He's the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Amen? Calvary is no accident, but I want to say just as much as Calvary is no accident, the empty tomb's no accident. The empty tomb this morning, it's not some happen chance. It's planned, and it was right on time. It was just according to the Scriptures. Verse 5 says, "And that not only did we have a story, but we've got witnesses." Verse 5, "And that he was seen of Cephas," that's Peter, "then of the 12. And he said, after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, Paul said, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of all the apostles," he said, "that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so you believe. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there, listen closely, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. Thank you for salvation, so full and so free. Thank you, Lord, for, Lord, going to the old rugged cross and there dying in our stead and for our sins. God, I thank you for that. But God, I thank you, Lord, more than that, I thank you, God, Lord, on that third and glorious day, the stone was rolled away. And the rock of ages come out the grave. Lord, I thank you, God, this morning, that we don't serve a rock or a statue. We don't even serve an old rugged cross this morning. But thank God that we serve a risen Savior that's alive, and he's making intercession for us at the right hand of our Father. And we thank you for that this morning. We thank you for all you do. We thank you, God, for your faithfulness. Thank you, God, that you live and you reign in our hearts today. Thank you, God, for the freedom you've given us. Thank you for the forgiveness you've given us. Thank you, God, for the future you're going to give us. And God, I pray that you'd bless this service. I pray, God, you'd encourage Christians. God, I pray you'd encourage your people, help them along the way. I pray, God, for sinners, Lord, that are here. They've never been saved. They've never been to Calvary. They've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, repented of their sins. God, I pray today might be the day of their salvation. God, I pray you'd work in their hearts and do the work that only you can do. I thank you, God, for all you've already done. Thank you for the good messages we heard this morning. Thank you for the good singing we've heard, the good time, the fellowship. Thank you, God, for just allowing us the privilege and the opportunity to be here this morning. Now, God, I pray you'd come by and breathe on us this morning. Help us for a little while here this morning. Give us the unction to function, Lord. I pray in your will. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I want to preach on this thought this morning. Don't feel sorry for me. Don't feel sorry for me. Or I want to tell you why I'm not miserable this morning. The Apostle Paul said in verse 19, he said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. You know, there are quite a few people out today in our world and the world around us that believe that Christianity is a crutch. They believe that, well, you only lean on that Bible and that you only have that faith to help you through the hard times. You only have this hope. You only have this system of faith that you lean on to help you cope with the pressures of life. But Paul said here, he said, if we only have hope in Christ in this life, he said, we're of all men most miserable. Paul said, look, if this thing only gets me through this life, if it only helps me through, I've heard people say, well, if I trust Christ and I get to the end and I find out it wasn't true, then I hadn't lost anything. Oh, yeah, you have. But Paul said, you're most miserable. Amen. Hey, look, but he said in verse 20, he didn't have to worry about that. In verse 19, he said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. You know, there's some miserable people. That word miserable is pitiable. I mean, it's people you would look down upon and have pity on. I mean, you feel sorry for them. I'm saying this morning, you don't have to feel sorry for me. Amen. Why, preacher? Because verse number 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead. Just go ahead and everybody say it. But now is Christ. Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. That word slept, it's the old English verbiage for somebody that had already died. They're asleep. They're waiting on the resurrection. And so Paul said, hey, in verse, we could go on down through here, but he said in verse 19, he said, if we only have hope now, he said, we're of all men most miserable. But in verse 20, he said, but now is Christ risen from the dead. I'm not miserable this morning because Christ is risen from the dead. I want to say a few things about the resurrection this morning here in this chapter. I won't go into everything. I won't go verse by verse all through it, but I will say this. In the first couple of verses, in verses 1 and 2, you'll find out that your salvation is depending upon the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, he went to the cross and he paid for your sin. But if he wouldn't have come out the grave, he'd have been a liar. If he wouldn't have came out of the grave, it would have been a hoax. But hey, he got up. Hey, after the third, one day,
and a night, 2 days and a night, 3 days, and he got up, hey, hallelujah, after the third day, Jesus got out of the grave, and he come out of there victorious over death, hell, and the grave, and he's proven, and he said, look, I am who I said I am. I did what I said I did. At Calvary, when I said it was finished, good neighbors. Hey, the Father was pleased, and he said, your salvation is dependent upon it. Can I say not only does your salvation depend upon it, but your salvation displays it. You being a new creature, Paul here talks about them, how that if Christ wasn't risen, then they were still in their sins. But their life, these very people he's talking to, their life was a display that they'd been changed. He's talked about in chapter 6 that they'd been bought with a price. And he talked about how some of them, hey, they used to be drunks. They used to be adulterers. They used to be all these different things in 1 Corinthians 6, 9, 10, and 11. And he says, but you're washed, but you're sanctified. In other words, you're new creatures. You've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. You've been sanctified and sealed. Here you are. Hey, your salvation is a display of the resurrection. Paul talked about in Romans chapter 6, how we're buried in his likeness and we're raising again. We're raised again to walk in newness of life. Salvation, the Christian walk, is a display that there is a resurrection. Let me say this. Not only is the salvation display it dependable, but the Scriptures declare it. Paul said in verse number 3 and 4, he talked about how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. I got to studying that thing, and I got to looking at it, and I understand when we talk about that he died on the cross, and he died on the cross according for our sins according to the Scriptures. I understand we can go like to Isaiah 53, and we can talk about, Isaiah's predicting the death of the Lord Jesus. Psalm 22, Psalm 69, those prophetic psalms that they're looking forward to the Messiah being slain. And I mean, I can understand how, well, when he came and died on Calvary, I can understand how that was according to the Scriptures. And then I could even see some glimpses of the resurrection. But where did I see the resurrection according to the Scriptures on the third day? Look what it says in verse number 4. It says that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Wow. So I got to thinking about where do we find the resurrection in the Old Testament? Where is that prophesied? Where is that predicted? Where is that pictured? What does it show? And I got to thinking about over in Genesis chapter number 22. In Genesis 22, when God told Abraham, he said, I want you to take your son, your only son Isaac, up on the Mount Moriah. He said, I want you to take him up there. And he said, I want you to offer him for a burnt offering up on the mountain, on the hill that I tell you of. And Abraham said, oh, yes, sir, God, I'm headed that way. And he got down there to the foot of the mountain, and he looked at his servants, and he left the young men there. And he said, look, me and the lad, that is Isaac, he said, me and the lad, we're going to go yonder and worship, and then we'll return. He said, we're coming. I'll tell you what Abraham said. Abraham, now look, if you know Isaac, that's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ voluntarily, willingly laying down his life at Calvary. That's what Isaac's a picture of in the Old Testament. And if you understand that, hey, Abraham was saying, I'm going up there and I'm going to lay down my son, my only son, on this altar for a burnt offering. But he said, I believe that God's going to raise him from the dead, because he said, we're going up there and we're coming back. If you don't believe me, just go read Genesis chapter 22. And so we see it pictured there. And then I see the resurrection pictured in the life of Joseph. Y'all remember Joseph? Y'all know Joseph, the coat of many collars. Y'all with me? Y'all ain't that far from Sunday school. Genesis, I believe it's about chapters 37, 38, 39 right in there. Oh, Joseph, his brothers take him. When he goes down to find out what they're doing and where they're at, and his brothers take him and they put him in the pit. They put him in the pit, basically leaving for dead. But guess what happens? He's in the pit. A picture of death, a picture of despair, a picture of hopelessness. But old Joseph comes out of the pit. And sooner or later, hey, his brothers are bowing at his feet, and he is saving them from starvation. Are y'all with me? It's another picture. It's a picture that Joseph, hey, though he was as good as dead, he was raised up out the pit. We see that picture there in those two. And then I think about in Leviticus, I think it's Leviticus chapter number 14, I think about the leper. The leper would come and he would go through that ceremonial cleansing. And in Leviticus chapter 14, the first few verses there, you'll find about the ceremony where they took the two birds. And the priest would take two birds and he would kill one of them. He would kill one of them and take his blood and dip the other, the living one, in his blood. Are y'all with me? The one that he killed, it's a picture of Jesus Christ dying and shedding his blood on Calvary. But he took one of them and he put his blood on it, sprinkled it, and he turned him loose and he flew away. It's a picture of one dying, but the other bird's a picture of resurrection, it's new life. And I can hear that old song, hey, I'm redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed and forever I am, redeemed by the blood, amen. See a picture there in the Old Testament. And then if you understand what Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 12, there's a lot of people that talk about, is Jonah and whale true? Did Jonah really get swallowed by a whale or a great fish? Well, if the Bible said that the great fish swallowed Jonah, I believe it. But if the Bible would have said that Jonah swallowed the great fish, I'd have believed it. But Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 12 and verse number 40, he said, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale, or in the whale's belly, 3 days and 3 nights, he said, even so, he said, was the Son of Man going to be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and 3 nights? Say, so what are you saying, preacher? I'm telling you, Jonah, in the belly of the whale for 3 days and 3 nights, and being spit back up on dry land, hey, is a great picture of the Lord Jesus Christ dying and being raised again. We see the resurrection pictured in the Old Testament. If you can't see it, you need to clean your glasses real good. Amen. And then we see it predicted. I'll give you a few scriptures that not only through pictures, but right out of the scripture. I mean, right out of the very words. In Psalm chapter number 16. Excuse me. In Psalm chapter number 16, the psalmist writes and he says, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Psalm 16, verse number 10. And somebody said, well, that's talking about David. Well, that's funny because I thought that too, but Peter used that thing in Acts chapter 2, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see here that the resurrection was predicted in the book of Psalms. And then I was thinking about, you know, Isaiah 53. We read that last week, talking about Calvary and how he was as a sheep. He said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. And the Bible said he was brought as a lamb to the slaughter and as a sheep before his shears is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. And we think about that thing when we talk about Calvary. And man, what a great picture that is of Calvary and what the Lord Jesus did. But verse 10 of Isaiah 53, verse 10 says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, watch it now, that's the death. But then it said, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Can I say, if the first part of that is talking about death, and the first part of that is talking about a picture and a prediction of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, then the second half of that verse has to be talking about a resurrection. Because how are you going to be dead and see your seed? How are you going to be dead and prolong your days? How are you going to be dead and see the pleasure of the Lord and prospering in his hand? I'm telling you, Isaiah said he's going to die. He's going to be a humble servant. He's going to be a suffering servant. But good neighbor, he ain't staying dead. He's coming out of the grave. We see it predicted right here in Isaiah chapter number 53. You say, well, I don't know about that. Well, how about this? This one right here, you can't argue with this one. Job. Y'all remember Job? Probably one of the oldest books, if not the oldest book written in the Bible. Job chapter number 19 and verse 25. Job in the despair and the trouble that he's going through. Job said, for I know that my Redeemer liveth and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. What about that? Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after, watch this, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Job said, my Redeemer is alive, and he said, I'm going to resurrect, and I'm going to see him. He can't resurrect if Christ don't resurrect. Wow, we see the resurrection declared in the scriptures. And then I was thinking about this in 1 Corinthians 15. We was looking there in verse number 5 where he started talking about he was seen of Cephas. And after then he said the 12. We probably would be better, more correct. I understand I'm not trying to correct the Bible, but the 11, because Judas done went and killed himself. Y'all with me? So he's talking about the apostles. And we're looking here at the witnesses. We're thinking about the salvation depends upon the resurrection. The scriptures declare it. But I think about this, Brother Robbie. The saints documented. Over time, you say, Well, do you understand this? I want to say this to you this morning. You understand, everybody, I mean, I had somebody this week, I was talking to them. They said, well, what's the difference between Mormonism? What's the difference between, because they were trying to defend Mormonism, which is not Christianity, if you, just in case you got any questions. All right? Yeah. Mormons don't worship the same Jesus we worship. All right, they talk a good talk, but just trust me up in here this morning. Get your Bibles out. Jesus and Lucifer are not brothers. All right? And the Mormons think they are. And you ain't going to become a god. All right. Just in case anybody needed to hear that. But so what's the difference, preacher? You know, because the Mormons say they believe Jesus. And what's the difference between Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses and Buddhists? And what's the difference between all these different religions? You know, every religion's got their own God. It's kind of all the same. Which one? What's the difference? I said, wait a minute. You can go over there and you can find Buddha's grave. And guess what you're going to find in Buddha's grave? You're going to find Buddha's bones. You find Joseph Smith's grave, you'll find Joseph Smith's bones. You find a Brigham Young's grave, you'll find Brigham Young's bones. Y'all with me? Hypocrite, go on down the line, you'll find all their bones. But you go over to Israel and you search high and low, get your DNA out, you find it all. Hey, you take every bone out of every grave and dig up every excavation. You ain't finding no bones for Jesus Christ. They are not there. He is risen just like he said. That's what sets it apart, Jacob. That's the difference between Christianity and every other so-called religion in the world. Do you understand this? Do you understand there is more documented proof of eyewitnesses that Jesus, a man named Jesus, died, buried, rose again, than there is that a man named Abraham Lincoln, who was the president of the United States, was shot in the head and killed. More eyewitnesses that Jesus rose from the dead than that Abraham Lincoln was shot in the head. Now, how do you know? Everybody believes Abraham Lincoln was shot in the head. Raise your hand. How do you know that? Somebody told you. You read it in a book. Guess how I know Jesus is alive? Somebody told me. I read it in a book. You say, well, it's documented. It's documented. It's just a little bit older history. It's still history. You say, well, hold on. Let's just back up here and look at these witnesses for a minute. Let's think about the disciples and the ones that were close to Jesus. Let's think about the Christians. Matthew, according to history, now you study history, Matthew was slain in Africa with a halberd in AD 60. Mark was dragged to death in Alexandria in Egypt. Luke, the physician, was hung on an olive tree by idolatrous priests of Greece. John, y'all know John, the beloved, he's cast into a pot of boiling oil and he survived, and then he's exiled to the Isle of Patmos. He's the only apostle that was spared a violent death. Paul, the apostle, he was beheaded at Rome. James, the half-brother of Jesus Christ, who, according to history and what we understand, he didn't even become a believer that Jesus was God until after Jesus resurrected, and then he saw him, and then he believed. Y'all ever heard of Thomas? Same deal. But James was beaten to death with a club. Peter was crucified and history tells us upside down because he didn't think he was worthy to be crucified like his Lord. Jude was crucified in Edessa in AD 72. Stephen, y'all remember that preaching deacon? He was the first martyr. He was stoned to death in Acts chapter number 7. James was beheaded in AD 44. Philip was crucified in AD 54. Andrew was crucified on an X-shaped cross. Bartholomew was at length cruelly beaten and crucified in India. Thomas was thrust through with a spear. Thomas, y'all remember Thomas the doubter, Thomas the one that didn't even believe, but after the resurrection, he cried out, "My Lord and my God." And then he was thrust through with a spear. Simon Zelotes was crucified in what is now Britain in AD 74. And think about this. These all died, these cruel, gruesome deaths, because they believed in a resurrected, living Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, let me say this. Let's just reason for a second. It would be one thing for me to say I believe that Jesus is God and to live for him while he's alive. Y'all with me? That's great in and of itself. But after he dies, I mean, and my neck's at the stake now. He died, but now my neck's going on the block. I'm going on the cross. What would possess these men to continue to follow him to their dying breath? I'll tell you what it was.
They were eyewitnesses. They saw that he was a living, risen Savior. I'm telling you, this is not no hocus pocus. Hey, this ain't just some made up story. These men went to their death, and they couldn't deny it. They couldn't get away from it because they saw it with their own eyes. They helped him. They handled it. Remember in Luke chapter 24, he said, handle me. See my scars. Not the scars. He said, see my hands and my feet. Take me. Handle me. Feel me. Touch me. Yeah. They saw him. They knew he was alive. You say, well, that's the Bible. Somebody says, well, that's just the Bible. Well, there is some history books that aren't the Bible. You ever heard of Josephus, Flavius? Josephus was a historian in early days of Christianity. He's born about the time that the church began. You go back and you can find Josephus' writings, and he. Some people say, well, he was a Christian. Well, some people say he was all in the Roman government. You know, well, this is what Josephus said. It's hard to tell which side he was on because he bounced around trying to save his own neck. He's not a biblical writer, though. Not even sure if he was a Christian, but he was a secular historian. And this is what Josephus stated. This is a quote. He said, now there was about this time Jesus, a wise man, if it be lawful to call him a man, for he was a doer of wonderful works, a teacher of such men as receive the truth with pleasure. He drew over to him both many of the Jews and many of the Gentiles. He was the Christ. And when Pilate, at the suggestion of the principal men amongst us, had condemned him to the cross, those that loved him at the first did not forsake him, for he appeared to them alive again the third day. This ain't the Bible. This is secular history. For he appeared to them alive again the third day, as the divine prophets had foretold these and 10,000 other wonderful things concerning him, and the tribe of Christians so named from him are not extinct at this day. Josephus, an historian of the secular kind, not a biblically inspired writer, he said there was a man named Jesus that died and he was crucified and he showed himself alive unto his disciples on the third day. It's hard to argue history, people. So we see this. Man, we could talk about the different witnesses. We could talk about the apostles. We could talk about Mary. We could talk about Mary Magdalene. We could talk about Thomas. We could talk about them all. Man, we see the saints documented. We see this thing of the resurrection. But I want you to see here in 1 Corinthians 15 something that really jumped out to me. Verse number 20. Paul said, now is Christ risen from the dead. I'm talking about, and everything I've said up to this point proves the reality of the resurrection. The reality. I'm telling you, them disciples, them apostles, they wouldn't go to their dying breath. They wouldn't be crucified. They wouldn't be beat to death with clubs just to fit into a little clique. Are y'all with me? That wouldn't make, they if they're going to die for something, they're going to know good and sure it was true. I'm telling you, the reality of the resurrection. We serve a risen Savior. And he's in the world today. And I know that he is living whatever men may say. They can tear it, they can mock it, they can poke fun at it, but Jesus is alive. We see the reality, but I want to see not only the reality, but I want you to look in verse in chapter 15 at some of the results of the resurrection. I'm going to just go through them very hurriedly, and I'll let you go eat your Easter lunch. Paul said, if there be no resurrection, in verse number 12, he said, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some of you that there is no resurrection of the dead? He said, if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. So this is what he said. He said, if there's no resurrection, then Christ is not risen. He said, then our preaching's in vain. Your faith is in vain. We're false witnesses, false preachers of God. Christ is not raised. And if Christ is not raised, he says, you're still yet in your sins. And he said, if you're still yet in your sin, then those that have already died, those that are asleep, they have no hope. And he said, and if that's the case, we're of all men most miserable. Are you seeing the sad picture that it would paint if there's no resurrection and if Christ didn't get out the grave? What a sad, miserable bunch we'd be. I'd be sitting here blowing hot air for nothing.
You'd be sitting here listening for nothing. You would be, like the skeptics say, wasting your time. But good neighbor, you're not wasting your time this morning. You don't have nothing to be sad about. I have no sad stories. I have no regrets. I have no time to whine and moan and bellyache and complain. Because Paul said in verse 20, he said, but now is Christ risen from the dead. And not only is he risen from the dead, and he says, and become the first fruits of them that slept. Now, what is first fruits? Let me briefly and hurriedly tell you about these first fruits. First fruits, you can read about them in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament book of Leviticus chapter 23, you'll find the first fruits. And they symbolize, this is what first fruits symbolize. They would symbolize the consecration of an entire harvest to God. So somebody would bring an offering of first fruits, the beginning of the harvest. And they would say, because I'm giving you this, it's like an earnest, it's a down payment, it's a guarantee that the rest of the harvest is coming. And so Christ is called the first fruits. He is symbolizing consecration of an entire harvest to God. And he's the earnest or the pledge of the full harvest that is yet to be guaranteed. Now this is what we'll give this to you, and then I'm going on. But when Jesus Christ raised up from the grave some 2,000 years ago, the Bible says here in 1 Corinthians 15, he's become the first fruits of them that slept. When Jesus Christ got out of the grave, he's the first fruits. He's the beginning of the offering. He is the guarantee. He is the earnest. He is the pledge, if you will. All right, now, watch it now. What does that do for me and you? If he's the first fruits, where's the main harvest? Jesus said, John 14:19, he said, because I live, ye shall live. I believe it's John 19:14. Jesus is the first fruit. At the rapture of the church, he's going to call his church out and the main harvest will be taken out. And guess what? After the tribulation, the millennium, hey, he's going to have what we call the gleanings, the ones that didn't get in the main harvest and they weren't the first fruit. He's going to go around and he's going to get them and he's going to glean them and clean up the field. But the first fruit is the guarantee and the pledge that the main harvest and the gleanings have a chance. Paul said, now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that slept. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Well, let me give it to you. We're going to go back. I'm getting about so excited I'm going to mess up. Y'all going to get confused. Let's just read verse 20 through 23 just to make this clear to you. He said, for since by man came death, that is by Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, Adam sinned, and death came. By man came also the resurrection of the dead. And he said, for as in Adam all die, so, even so, in Christ shall all be made alive. So everyone that was in Adam, that is all the human race, die because of sin. But everybody now that's in Christ is going to live because of Jesus. Are you in Christ? Verse 23. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ that is coming. So you understand, I'm not making this up. Though afterward, they that are Christ and his coming is the main harvest. And then you study the book of Revelation, Revelation 20, after the trib and the millennium, he'll go through and get the gleanings. But I want you to see that, hey, because, hey, Christ is risen, he's the first fruits, we got a chance. We got a guarantee. I'm going to be resurrected one day, Brother Adrian. Ain't no grave going to hold this body down. Ain't no grave going to hold this body down. I'm going to get up out of the ground. I'm going to hear that trumpet sound. Amen. I'll go to church with the brothers, Dave. Nobody else wants to go. Hit my But watch, I'm going to go in backwards. I'm going to go back from verse 20 and I'm going to go back to verse 12. And I want to see the difference. Paul painted a sad picture. If there's no resurrection and if Christ be not raised, there's a sad picture. We're of all men most miserable. But I'm telling you, don't feel sorry for me. I'm not miserable. And here's why I'm not miserable. Because verse 20 says, now is Christ risen from the dead. So if Christ is risen from the dead, and he is, amen, that's the reality. Well, here's the results. I'm not miserable. Don't feel sorry for me, because I do have a hope. Verse 18 says, they which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. But we know they're not perished. They're going to come out of the grave. Amen? It's like they're a seed. They're planted in the ground, but they're going to come up. What was planted corruptible is coming up incorruptible. I'm not miserable. I have a hope. Your loved ones that are dead in Christ, they're going to raise first when the trumpet sounds. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Don't get happy about it. Well, Paul said, you know, if this is not true, then you're yet in your sin. I'm not in my sins. My salvation is proof of it, and my changed life is proof that there is a resurrection. And because of that, hey, I'm saved, I'm forgiven, I've been made free, I've been made a new creature, I'm a brand new man, I'm not an alien anymore, I've been drawn nigh by the blood of Christ, I have a hope. Good neighbor, hey, I don't have to worry about my sin, I'm not in my sin anymore, I'm now in Christ. Well, I'm not in my sins, I'm saved, I'm forgiven, cleansed and made new. My faith is not vain. Verse number 17, my faith is not vain. My faith, my hope is in the blood. My faith is in Jesus Christ. He said, Christ is not, Christ is risen. We've already settled that. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Paul, you ain't got to worry about being a false preacher, a false witness. We're not false, but we're faithful to declare the gospel. That Jesus died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture. Amen. My preaching is not in vain. And Christ is risen. Verse 13, there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. But guess what? Christ is risen. A dead Savior can't save anybody. I thought about this story. I was trying to remember it all in detail. I can't remember all the details, but I heard Brother Mays Jackson tell a story one time. He was around some people and he'd been preaching all week, and there was a fellow there that had a wife that was I think she was a Buddhist. Best I remember, she was a Buddhist. And she heard Mays Jackson talking about his God had him in the palm of his hands. And talking about how he had a God that heard him pray, and how he talked to God every morning, how he talked to God and God heard him. Listen to his prayer. God cared about him. God knew about him. This little lady talked to Brother Mays, and she talked about how she had, you know, the little statues, the little G gods. She had the little statues set up that she worshipped, and she's, oh, I wish I had a God like you had, Brother Mays. Brother Mays talked about how one morning that lady came to him with a smile on her face, and she was talking about it. And she said, oh, Brother Mays, she said, this morning, she said, I threw my God out the window. He's gone. She said, I now have a God that, hey, has me in the palm of his hands. Now I have a God that can hear and answer my prayer. Now I have a God that knows all about me. Don't get too excited about it, but we serve a risen Savior this morning. You don't have no reason to be miserable this morning. You don't have no reason to go around with the mully grubs. You don't have to worry. You don't have to worry about what's going to happen to you, Brother Jimmy. You are born again. Bought by the blood. Hey, in Christ. Amen. Sanctified, sealed, settled. And when you die in this earth, the body's going to sleep. And you'll be in the ground. This old body may decay. This old body may die and go away. Oh, but one of these days. Oh, one of these days. It's going to be. Come up hither. If you know Jesus, guess what you're going to do? You're going to come up hither. Say, preacher, did you make that up? No, I read it out the Bible. I read it out the Bible. That's our hope. We have a hope. We have a hope beyond the grave. Say, preacher, I put my mom in the grave. I put my daddy in the grave. I put my grandma in the grave. My grandpa got my loved ones. What am I going to do? According to the Word of God, because Jesus got up, Because Jesus got up, amen. One of these days, if they know him, they're getting up. And they're going to be with him. They're going to be with us. There's going to be a grand reunion. And we'll sing that song, "There will be a glad reunion in heaven, I know." Why will there be a glad reunion? Because Jesus got out the grave. I'm not miserable this morning. I have no sad songs. You know the world's smallest violin playing a sad, sad song. I don't have none of that this morning, Miss Barbara. You've got a reason to smile. You've got a reason to get up in the morning. What's the song say? "And life is worth living just because he lives." I don't care if your bank account goes crashing. Sooner or later, it's probably going to. I don't care if you can't afford gas. And if you can, you're doing real good. It really don't matter, you know, how bad this world. If you know Jesus, we've got a hope. If you don't know Jesus, you can get to know him. Because the gospel is that he died for your sins according to the scripture. And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture. Do you know him this morning? Do you know that you know that you know that you're ready to go? Do you know with assurance and confidence? Man, I could go on and on and on about the assurance and the confidence that we have. I mean, we know because the resurrection that we're accepted in Christ, in the blood. We know that we have an interceding high priest. We know that we have a power to live and to serve God. We know that because one day he died and was buried and rose again. We know that one day we too are going to be buried and rose again. And if we're not buried, we're going to hear a trumpet sound. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the cloud. To be with the Lord forever. Hey, we're going one way or the other, good neighbor. By way of the undertaker or by way of the upper taker. If you know Jesus, we're going out of here. Hey, and it's all because he lives. Amen. He lives. We do not serve a dead Savior. Don't go around with the mully grubs. Don't go around pouting. You've got a reason to come to church on Sunday morning. You've got a reason to smile. We got a reason to worship on the first day of the week. We don't worship on the Sabbath day. We don't worship no dead religion. We don't worship dead rituals. We worship a serve a risen Savior. And we come and we worship on the first day because that's the day that he got out of the ground. Amen. Just let me help you. Remind you something. When them ladies came, I don't know who they were, all of them, Mary. When they got to the tomb, the stone was already rolled away. I don't get to preach tonight. I'm just going to overdrive. Hey. The stone was already rolled away. And guess what? The tomb was already empty. Everybody says he got up on Sunday morning. Well, the way I do my math, 3 days and three nights from Wednesday to Saturday night, he could have got up any time after sundown on Saturday night. We'll talk about that later. So sometime after the sun went down on Saturday evening, he got up. When they got there, the tomb was already empty. Somebody said, well, they went to the wrong tomb. That's why it was empty. Well, let me ask you a question. Why was a Roman guarding the wrong tomb? Somebody said, well, he wasn't really dead. He was in like a coma. He just swooned, and he got in there, and he was cool. Let me ask you a question. He's beat to a bloody pulp. His hides ripped off his back. I mean, he's beat. I mean, could have died from the beating he probably took, but he gave up the ghost. And he went to the tomb. So I said, well, he just went in there and the cool air revived him and brought his health back to him. Well, let me ask you a question. Did that give him the ability to walk into rooms without opening the door? Give me some of that cool air. I'm telling you, there ain't no doubt about it. Anybody don't believe it, they are what we call willingly ignorant. Jesus died for your sins, according to the scripture. And he was buried. And he rose again. The third day. We sing the song, "Oh, victory." And we sing it like this. "Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior." And what we ought to sing is, "Oh, victory in Jesus." Amen.
We've got victory in Jesus. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. He said, I am he that was dead. He said, I am he that is alive. He said, I was dead. And he said, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And he said, I have the keys of death and of hell. Amen. Do you know him this morning? Do you know him? If you know him this morning, you've got a reason to rejoice. If you know him this morning, you've got a reason to live. If you know him this morning, you've got hope. You don't have to be miserable. If you don't know him, I invite you to come down to this old-fashioned altar this morning. Let somebody take a Bible. Show you how you can know that you know that you know beyond any shadow of any doubt. I've got an eyewitness. It works, don't it? Amen. I've got a bunch of eyewitnesses. It works. If you don't know him, if you don't know him, you can get to know him today. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we love you. We thank you, God, for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for the victory that we have in Jesus. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. God, I pray you take this message. I pray, God, you'd encourage your people. God, I pray you'd draw sinners to repentance. God, I pray you'd have your will and way in all that's said and done. We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Pianist is beginning to play. We're standing all across.